Good morning, church. The first thing I want to do today is apologize. I want to apologize to every single mother in this temple of worship and to each one of the relatives. I apologize because tomorrow is Mother's Day and I don't have a Mother's Day message today. I have three reasons, you might want to call them excuses. Number one, I was given this assignment at a late hour of the week. And then we had company for two of those days. And then I had some things I just absolutely had to get done. And so, call it a reason, call it an excuse. I'm sorry. But I want to tell each mother here that I have said special prayers for you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we recognize the reason why we are here. We are here because you are such a great God. We are here because you deserve worship. And we are here, Lord, because you have called us. And you call us from week to week. You come into our hearts. And we do not have the ability to thank you enough for that. But we thank you this morning and pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Before there was ever a Seventh-day Adventist church, a small group of those who would eventually become part of the beginning core of what today is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we're worshiping on a Sunday morning. Elder Frederick Wheeler was the speaker. And he was preaching a rousing sermon on the importance of obeying the law of God. And he really hammered the message to that little congregation that Sunday morning. There was also in the congregation a lady by the name of Rachel Oaks, who just happened to be a Seventh-day Baptist. And there were no Seventh-day Adventists, folks. That sounds strange to my mind. There were no Seventh-day Adventists in those days. At least not yet. And after the service, Rachel Oaks came up to the preacher as he was greeting the people at the door. And she looked him straight in the eye and said, "I almost interrupted your sermon this morning." And he said, "I noticed that you looked like you had something to say, but I didn't want to call on you, make you feel like I was putting you on the spot. So what did you want to say to me?" And Rachel Oaks replied, "I wanted to tell you, Elder, that before you preach such a stirring sermon on obeying the law, you should make sure that you are obeying it yourself." How would you like to have been the preacher that morning? Anyway, she started to leave, turned around, and said, "I encourage you to reread the Ten Commandments of God, and pay special attention to the fourth commandment." And so he went home, and he couldn't wait to open his Bible. He had read the verses many times before, but he couldn't wait to open his Bible. He turned to Exodus 20, and he read the Ten Commandment law clear through, and then he started paying special attention to the fourth commandment. And before he finished his study that day, he had become a Seventh-day Sabbath keeper. I would say, but I can't say this with any certainty, but I would say he was probably the first Seventh-day Adventist in the world. I cannot say that with any certainty, folks, but I would say he probably was. And in 1863, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was born. There are a few things that God tells us to remember. Very few things, actually. Let me give you a for instance. In Luke 17:32, Jesus himself asked us to remember Lot's wife. When was the last time you complied with that commandment of Jesus? But anyway, that's material for another sermon. The thing that we want to talk about this morning is that God not only spoke with his own mouth the Ten Commandments, but he wrote them down with his own finger on tables of stone. And when he did, he commanded us to remember. And the title of my sermon today is Don't Forget to Remember. He commanded us to remember. And I would like to read what he told us to remember. And I know that you have already read it many times and are very familiar with it, but I would like to read it one more time. And it's found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And in order to shorten the time, I won't read it out of the Bible. I have it written down in my notes. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. This morning, I would like for us to take a special notice of the wording of the fourth commandment. We want to see exactly what it says and exactly what it does not say. And the first thing I want us to notice this morning is something that never ceases to amaze me. And this constant amazement of mine is that in spite of the fact that the God of heaven spoke this commandment into being, and as if it wasn't enough, he chose to write it down himself. I mean, the whole Bible, he trusted others to write it. But when it came to the Ten Commandments, he decided to write it down himself. And I think I have a reason for it, and I'll share that with you. But my amazement is that even though God spoke it with his mouth and wrote it down on tables of stone, not once but twice, this world chose to go a totally different way. Not a single scripture in the whole Bible even hints that we should worship on Sunday. Not a single scripture makes that connection, not one. In fact, a Catholic bishop in St. Louis, Missouri, offered $5,000 to anyone who could find one text that even hinted about Sunday being the day of worship. He had a different idea than I have in mind. He was trying to show the world that the Catholic Church has the power to change the law of God. And I'm not here to do that, folks. That's the last thing I would ever do. But nobody ever collected the $5,000. My favorite preacher, a man who is now deceased, resting in Jesus, once offered $5 million to anyone who could come up with such a text. And he used to say, in conjunction with his promise, he used to say, "Now, I don't have $5 million, folks, but I will have it long before you find the text." That's exactly what he said. There is no such a text to be found, nowhere in Scripture. Sunday worship does not have a biblical foundation. It never will. for the sake of clarification, let us take the fourth commandment and put it on the shelf for a while. We'll look at it later. Without this commandment, without the fourth commandment in the law of God, without a commandment that says the Sabbath is holy, without this commandment, there is no reason why Saturday would be set apart as a special day. Without the fourth commandment, there is no reason for setting any day apart as a holy day. The truth is that without this commandment, there is no earthly reason for our weekly cycle. Without this commandment, we could have a 5-day week or a 10-day week or a 12-day week. You see, there is no earthly reason for the 7-day week and for the 7th-day Sabbath. No earthly reason. But there is a heavenly reason. There is a heavenly reason for the Sabbath and for the 7-day week. It was God who established it and set it apart at the very beginning of life on earth for human beings. Right after he created man, he decreed the 7-day division in time. We call it a week. We read in Genesis 2 and 3, and this has become a very important text to me when I study with some people. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the 7th day from all his work that he had made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all the work that God created and made. The words 7th day appears not once but 3 times in these 2 verses. Why was the 7th day the last day of the week? Well, we know that God created everything in 7 days. That's one reason. And God determined that it should be that way from the very week of creation itself. He determined that we should work 6 days and rest on the 7th. And you and I need to understand that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how hard we try. It doesn't matter how hard we try. We cannot make anything holy. You ever tried that? If you do, you're wasting your time. We cannot make anything holy. Only God, who is holy, can make anything holy. And God did not sanctify or make holy any other day of the week. And by the way, there's only one reason why the seventh-day Sabbath is holy. There's only one. And that is because God, in the very beginning of time, made it a holy day. And people can go through all the motions that they want to, but they can't make anything holy either. Only God can make something holy. And by the way, he wants to make us holy. He wants to make holy people out of his people. And the other thing I need to say is that there's no way that anybody can keep something holy that wasn't made holy by God. There's no way. But before I go any further, I want to point out something that's very important. The fourth commandment is the only one of the 10, the only one of the 10 that identifies the lawgiver. Any God, any person could say the other 9. Anybody can say the other 9. But only God, the creator of the world, the creator of mankind, only he can truthfully speak and say the fourth commandment. And now let us pull the fourth commandment off the shelf again. And I want to call your attention to the very first word. Remember. He didn't say that about any other commandment. Did he not mean for us to remember the others? Of course he did. He wants us to remember all 10. But he knew that mankind would be prone to forgetting the fourth commandment, the seventh day of the week. He knew that man would be prone to forgetting, so he started it with the word remember. And when he finally wrote the Ten Commandments, by the way, I mentioned this in Sabbath school this morning, the spirit of prophecy says that Adam and Eve were completely aware of the Ten Commandment law in the Garden of Eden. Totally aware of it. If they hadn't been, Cain could not have sinned. If they had not understood that the commandment said, thou shalt not kill, Cain could not have sinned. Well, there is no law against something. You cannot go wrong by doing that thing. But anyway, God knew that we would have a tendency to forget. And you know what? I've talked to people who have left the church, and eventually, some of them will actually confess that for a long time they kept the Sabbath. But eventually, by leaving the church, they started forgetting about the Sabbath, and eventually they forgot about it altogether until they're reminded again of what God says. But the reason God gave the Ten Commandment law in writing at Mount Sinai is because his people had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And in that amount of time, they had forgotten certain things about God. They had to relearn about God and about their relationship with him. But now they were free. By the time they got to Mount Sinai, they were free. And God had to reacquaint them with the blessings that could be theirs as a result of obeying him, as a result of keeping holy the seventh day of the week. And reason number two, we have already mentioned. The vast majority of even so-called Christians would be worshiping on Sunday. God knew that the devil who hates him would hate the fourth commandment above all the commandments in the ten. Because the fourth commandment points to the Creator and gives credit to God that Satan would rather God not have. God knew that the devil would do his very best to cause the people on planet Earth to forget about him by first making them forget the fourth commandment. And Christians, yes, even Christians forgot what he said, remember. And as you can see, the old serpent has been very successful. Today, but a small fraction of the people that inhabit planet Earth remember the words, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And by the way, we're not the only ones, you know, that keep the seventh day holy. There are other churches, not many, but there are others who do that too. And the reason that I can identify God's church, the reason why I'm not even messing with the other ones, is because the distinction between the true church and the other churches is twofold. First of all, according to the book of Revelation, they keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And Revelation itself reveals that the faith of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Maybe I've said this before, I don't know. But I'm going to say it again. The Mormon church, the Latter-day Saint church based in Salt Lake City, Utah, shortly after they settled in that land, had a great meeting to determine which day they would worship. And at the conclusion of the meeting, they decided they would worship on Sunday. If they had decided for the Sabbath, now listen to this carefully. If they had decided to worship on the Sabbath, then we would have trouble defining God's true church on earth, because they could say, we keep the commandments and we have the spirit of prophecy. But they don't keep the commandments, they only have the spirit of prophecy, so they claim. And I can identify which one is a true church. There is something else that we need to remember today. And I've already said it, I guess. The Ten Commandments did not originate on Mount Sinai. Adam and Eve were very familiar with them in the Garden of Eden. And the Sabbath goes back all the way to the week of creation. And we need to be careful to remember that when the Sabbath was created, there was not one single Jew upon planet Earth. It would be hundreds of years before one Jew would exist. It would be hundreds of years before one Jew would breathe the life-giving air that surrounds planet Earth. People call it the Jewish Sabbath. There is nothing Jewish about it, folks. It is the day that the Jews supposedly choose to worship their God. But the Sabbath, according to the Word of God, is never called in the Word of God the Sabbath of the Jews. It is always called the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And there are only two institutions that come to us from the Garden of Eden. One of them is the Sabbath, and the other one is the marriage institution. And the devil has raised havoc with both of them. The Sabbath is not something the Sabbath is not something that was instituted because of sin. The Sabbath comes to us from a perfect world. And you know what? The Sabbath from the Garden of Eden to eternity will continue to be one of God's requirements. It will go through this world of sin and survive throughout eternity in the earth made new. Listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And in 1 Peter 2:21, we read these words. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. We're always safe when we do as Jesus did. I want to repeat that. We are always safe when we do as Jesus did. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16, we read the words, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, the Bible informs us that that was his custom. It wasn't something that happened every now and then. It was the way he lived. Every Sabbath, he went to the synagogue. Every Sabbath. It was his way of life. And he is our example, folks. And we need to follow his example. It's always safe to follow his example. If we were to go to Nazareth and wanted to talk with Jesus on Sabbath, and we went to the carpenter shop, we'd find it closed. And it was always closed on Sabbath. It was the day that he went to church. And we do well when we follow him and go to church on Sabbath too. Those of us who keep the seventh-day Sabbath are in very good company. Jesus himself did that. And every single Bible writer was a seventh-day Sabbath keeper. Every single one of them. So we're in good company, folks. The rest of the world is the one that is out of sync with God. We are in good company. Let me finish my message this morning by telling you a story. Is there anyone here who still remembers Elder Theodore Karsich? Anybody here? Where did he live, in Oregon? Or do you know?
He lived in Washington.
Washington, okay. I knew he'd moved when he retired from the gospel ministry. I didn't know where he moved to. He lived in Washington. When he retired, he went to Washington and made his home there. And when he and his wife were fully established in their new home, he decided he would visit every clergy person in the town in which he lived. And he did. The first Thanksgiving they spent in their new home, they had the Catholic priest over for Thanksgiving dinner because he had no place else to go. Apparently his people didn't invite him home. It was a very nice gesture on their part to have the Catholic priest with them to eat a Thanksgiving dinner. But Elder Karsich became special friends with the pastor of the Four Square Church. They did things together. They would go for walks together. They would go fishing together. They would golf together. They would go out to eat together. In fact, they got to be such good friends that they would go to each other's house to eat. And whenever they got together, eventually the conversation would turn to religious matters. And they would talk things over. And one day the pastor of the Four Square Church said to Elder Karsich, he said, "You people sure make a lot of fuss about the Seventh-day Sabbath. Don't you people know that none of you can keep it perfectly?" Elder Karsich replied, "Oh yes, we know we cannot keep it perfectly. We do our very best, but we know we can't keep it perfectly. But you know what? When Jesus walked upon our planet, planet Earth, he kept it perfectly. He kept it perfectly. And when we do our best, he accepts, he gives us credit, not for the way we keep it, but for the way he kept it." And then he said these words, "Now let me ask you a question. Who in the world ever kept Sunday perfectly for you?" That's quite the question. And there was a long, torturous silence. And finally, the pastor of the Four Square Church said, "Elder Karsich, that is the best argument that I've ever heard for the Seventh-day Sabbath." Someone might be wondering why I chose so simple a topic to speak about. Well, folks, as I am rereading the Spirit of Prophecy, I've already read all the books. I haven't read everything she wrote, but I've read the published books. And now I'm reading them again. And I have discovered, and I even hate to say this, that too many of our people are going to give up when times get tough. And the big thing will be the Sabbath. When they pass that Sunday law, and when they say, "If you don't abide by what we tell you to do, we're going to kill you." Some of us are going to give up. And that bothers me. That bothers me. By that time, every living person on planet Earth will be marked. We'll have a mark. God's followers will have a seal on their forehead, the seal of God. It is not a mark that can be seen, but a settling into truth that cannot be changed. We settle into truth so that we will not change. The rest of the people have the mark of the beast, and only those people with the seal of God will live past the second coming of Jesus. Oh, I know they're going to be resurrected at the end of the millennium again to receive their reward, but folks, it'll be over when that happens. Prophecy tells us that Satan is going to muster all of his forces to get us to change. And what he wants us to change is our worship on Sabbath. Because he hates God and he hates this commandment that identifies the true God, that tells everybody who he really is. And so I preach this sermon because I don't want any of us, not one of this group, to be lost. I don't want us to be lost. Only those who remain faithful to God will be saved. So don't forget to remember the seventh day and to keep it holy. Not because of the day. Not because of the day, but because of the one who commands us to keep it. Our loyalty should not be so much to the day as it is to the God who gave us the day. So don't forget to remember to keep God's commandments. Please. And don't forget to remember that tomorrow is Mother's Day. Please honor them. God bless you. By the way, folks, I don't know anything that's whiter than snow except a Christian washed in the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you again. What a wonderful God you are. Thank you, Lord, for the promise that you will wash us whiter than snow. And Lord, we need your help. We really, really need your help. So help us stay true to you. Help us walk through the fire, as it were, when the days of persecution come upon us. But keep us faithful, Lord, and save us in your kingdom. And Lord, please, please bless all the mothers. In Jesus' name, amen.